Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're live in the studios here at 1440 AM Radio, beautiful downtown Napa. And we are here today with the amazing, the glamorous, the talented, the beautiful Small Business of the Year, Lisa Wunderlich. Yay! Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I tell you, your video at the Chamber of Commerce annual lunch that we had recently was amazing. It was so passionate and so heartfelt. And how did that feel being named Small Business of the Year?
It was shocking. It was amazing. I had all the emotions, but it was a really lovely afternoon for the award ceremony, and I was just so honored to be nominated and then be actually win.
Oh my, it's so precious. You're so deserving. And I've been through your store several times. I brought a purse, I brought a scarf. It's like kitschy little things. It's fun. So where did this idea come from? Wonder Boutique and Salon. Well, first of all, you do hair in the back.
Yeah, so there's a boutique in the front and a little hair salon in the back. I've been a hairdresser for probably about 15 years now.
Oh, okay.
Just working at different salons in the Valley, renting out booths.
And you thought, it's time to have my own booth.
Yeah, I kind of thought I would wanted to own kind of a business of sorts, but maybe not just a salon.
Yeah.
Being a hairdresser is really hard on our bodies, and I thought I wouldn't be able to do that full-time for the rest of my life. And I really enjoy fashion and accessories and all things beauty. So I thought maybe I'd kind of incorporate the two and start my own.
And I love the dual purpose. You know, I've been a big advocate for when a wine tasting salon opens, you know, wine tasting bar, to have a little market in the front or on the side where you can buy, you know, bottle openers and carry boxes.
Yeah, for sure. It's great just because it can bring different types of people, different types of traffic in the business. Say if we're slow out in the boutique, we're always having constant traffic coming in for the girls getting their hair done.
Yeah, and the other thing too with the wine tasting bars, using the doubling up, usually one of the members of your group of four that is tasting is a driver, designated driver, and it gives them time to browse around and shop. So same with you. If I bring Aunt Nellie in to get her hair done, then I can browse around and shop.
Yeah.
While she's getting her hair done.
Definitely. And then also while the client's processing or, you know, in between appointments, they're always kind of browsing around what we have new and what's going on out in the front. So it's super fun.
So we also have my sidekick here, my amazing and talented Julie Hamilton. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. So yeah. You were at the Chamber luncheon.
Yes.
And we saw the video together.
We did. You know, the one thing that sticks out to me about the video is also the Wonder Wall that they showed in the video. Tell us about the wall. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. It's our W wall. So before opening my business, I was collecting things to decorate the shop with, and I started just finding all these random W's, different shapes, sizes. Some were wood, some were metal, and I just started kind of picking them up, and then I thought, I don't know what I was going to do with them. And then at the back of my salon, there's just one accent wall, and I thought, we need to put something on that wall. And then I thought, well, I'll start putting all the W's up there. And so I started growing and growing, and then people started bringing them into me and gifting them to me. So I'd call my dad. I'm like, I have more to hang up. So come on in.
Lisa, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So you do hair and you have the salon. I mean, you have the little gift shop in the front. Yeah. So tell us, what would I find if I moseyed in there?
For sure. It's, you know, we call it a woman's accessory boutique. So we have all things. We have scarves and hats and jewelry and purses and sunglasses. We have some like gift items too. We have a pretty large greeting card selection,
yes,
which is super fun to shop for. People always love to send unique and different cards. So we have a lot of clients that come in just for our cards. And then we also have a few little Napa Valley type gift stuff too. And then we have a few t-shirts and little wraps and shawls, but nothing major in the clothes department.
Yeah. So who is Lisa? Are you married? Do you have kids? Tell us about Lisa.
Lisa. I am born and raised in Napa. Lived here my whole life, minus a little bit for college. I am single, no kids.
Oh my gosh, what's your cell phone number? I want to put that out there. She is single. Now listen to me. If she refuses to give me her cell phone number to broadcast live and proud, you know, you can just wander into the salon and say, "Hey, baby. Hey, baby, what you doing for Valentine's?"
Yeah,
I have
Valentine's.
A seat at my table.
Now that you guys are hearing this, you're experiencing what I call now D-harmony. This is Doris Harmony. Mm. Like this is, you've heard of E-harmony.
Yes.
Now we are having D-harmony.
I know. Every time I meet a single person, I'm like, spotlight.
Oh my gosh. Add that to your resume.
I need to add that to my, love it. I like Hallmark movies and I'm a junkie for love. I'm a deep down romantic. So I was thinking yesterday, I watched the movie on Hallmark and she's a matchmaker. Uh-huh. And I thought, I miss my calling.
I should have done that.
So, so we've identified that Lisa is a lifetime Napan. We also identified that Lisa is single. Let me give you some applause. And what else? Tell us about Lisa.
In addition to obviously my business, I do a lot of volunteer work with the Active 2030 Club of Napa.
Oh, yeah. 2030 Club. Oh, yeah. Let's see. We'll do a little song. Good morning. Is this song playing? So 2030, I mean, that is one wild, kicking, raucous, screaming group.
Yeah.
I have spoken at 2030 several times as a guest speaker, and it just gives me so much hope for the future.
Yeah, we're a fun group of people. I've been a part of the club for a very long time, over 17 years now. I joined when I was 22, and they will be kicking me out this year, unfortunately, but I've been a really big part of my life serving with that organization, benefiting the children of Napa that are underserved. It's super fun to be a part of. We do a lot of hands-on work and a lot of fundraising work. Yeah.
That is so precious. And I know that you participate in 2030. Have you thought about joining Rotary when you graduate?
I have thought about doing something after I'm done. I just don't know what that will be yet. But probably something Rotary will be down the road for sure.
Rotary would be a good fit. We should start wooing you. So Lisa, when you opened your shop, did you ever think you would grow to this proportion of recognition?
No, absolutely not. I just wanted to create something beautiful and, you know, that the community could come and shop and get their hair done. And that's kind of all I was wanting to do, just making something, you know, something great. And never that I thought that we'd get to this status, no.
So what's next for Lisa?
I don't know what's next. I mean, I'm just going to keep moving and shaking with the business, and hopefully we can grow that and make it be bigger and better. But I don't know what's next. I guess it's endless.
Tell me, what's your favorite part of doing hair? What do you like to color, cut?
I like all aspects of doing hair. I do, you know, color and cut, men, women, and kids. I just like just connecting with my clients and making them feel better when they leave than they showed up. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we get pegged as, you know, we're kind of therapists, and we totally are. I live my clients' lives with them, you know, when they're going through something happy or sad. I know things about my clients before their family sometimes do.
Wow. And they're in that cone of silence because you don't gossip it around town.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, bless you, my child. Yeah. So let me turn to Julie. Julie, you got some questions for Lisa?
I do. I am new to hearing about the 2030 Club. And as we met last a couple weeks ago with the mayor of Windsor, he's a big part. And we met his girlfriend, Amy, Dominic, and Amy, who's a huge part of 2030 Club. And you and I were there hearing about all the things that their 2030 Club is doing. So I was curious, what are some of the things that 2030 Club is doing here in Napa that you've been a part of?
Yeah, our club in Napa does a lot. We're a small group, but we still can do so much. So we have a couple big fundraisers throughout the year. We do a big golf tournament in June or July. And then we do a cornhole tournament at the Oxbow Commons, usually in October or September. And those are our big fundraisers that we do. And so with those monies that we get, we do some really fun projects. We do high school scholarships every year, to depending on how much money we have in the budget. We do anywhere from like 2 to 4 high school scholarships to graduating seniors.
Oh, wow.
And then we also do a really fun project at Christmas called Project Santa. So we shop for anywhere between 100 and 200 underprivileged children.
Oh,
and we
wow.
get wish lists from them, and then we go shopping, and then we wrap all the gifts, and then we have a big party with the families with Santa, and they get their presents.
Aww.
So that's a really fun project that we've been doing a really long time.
Now, I'm 45. Could I join the 2030 Club? Because it sounds like a lot of fun.
You could not, unfortunately. It's for young professionals between 20 and 39.
Young professionals. So it's kind of like, to me, I was thinking of when I was hearing about it, it's kind of like YPO, like a little, like my friends in YPO, when they age out, you know, so you're about to age out.
I am about to age out.
Out at 40. You're going to turn 40, you're going to age out. And we were just talking about how are you feeling about turning 40? It's kind of some people have a hard time or an easy time when they turn 40. For me, I was just like, am I halfway done with my life? You know? So tell me about your thoughts about turning 40.
It's not until later in the year, so I feel like I have some time to freak out. Right now I'm feeling good about it. I keep hearing the 40s are the best.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that everyone's true when they say that. I haven't gotten to the depression or the sad part of turning 40 yet. So hopefully that won't come. Maybe I'll just be happy about it.
Well, I think the funny thing that I realized when I turned 40 is, you know, because I went through that thing where I was like, oh my gosh, my life is half over. What am I doing? This is 5 years ago. You know, have I done all, you know, things with my life that I wanted to? And then I just had this moment where I realized that, oh, you know what? It may be around halfway through, but the second half is so much more fruitful than the first half. So the two halves are not equal. So like your first half, you're working and, you know, building businesses and raising babies if you have them and, you know, going to school and all of that. And, you know, the second half, I think, is where you get a lot of the fruit. So I just had to settle with that. Like, you know, okay, I'm looking forward to having grandkids now and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I think 40s are awesome. So what do you think your friends that are saying 40s are awesome, what do they think is great about being in your 40s?
I don't know. They haven't gotten me too much details, but I just think that people are, kind of getting more settled in their lives, feeling more comfortable in their skin, figuring out kind of where they want to, you know, take it to the next level. I'm hoping that's the same for me. But, you know, like you said, no one ever thinks they're where they should be at any point in their life. So that's one thing that I think is always like, oh gosh, I could have done this or I should have done that. But you can't look at it that way. You have to kind of look into the future.
I do have a question for Doris too on this, because you're an expert. So you are, you know, a couple years older than Lisa and I. So when you're looking at your life and you're looking at the past decades, the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, what has been your favorite decade out of the lives that you, or the, not lives you've lived, but the decades that you've lived?
You know, I think that your comment was very wise. And I think that that's my phone. It does that sometimes. It makes that like beeping, I think. Tell it to stop, but it won't stop. So I think that as we age, we do get depth of wisdom. And I think we are smarter exponentially. And I liken it to a baby that learns to walk, you know, a toddler finally learns to walk. You know, they keep trying to stand and trying to stand. And then finally they're standing and then they're walking. Nice. Little do they know that they're going to keep growing in that experience, and those little feet are going to take them through jobs and relationships. And so for me, I can't imagine a better decade than my 60s.
Wow,
I mean,
that's awesome.
You know, to have taken my whole life of experiences and dump it into right now, I think is the richest thing. I think we just, you know, when I was younger, I was so impatient. I was intolerant. I was working so hard trying to make another buck, add more zeros behind that number, you know, and now it's more prudent and wise to remember to sit down and finish that book and remember to take that walk with my son. I'm looking now at buying an electric bike. I want to get out and bike ride with my foster son.
That'll be fun.
You know, so yeah. So I think each decade brings its own richness to the table.
Nice.
And you guys are about, you're both going to be in your decade of the 40s.
Yeah.
And 40s, I think, is very settling, very transitional into from leaving behind, you know, your stupid 20s and moving forward to your wisdom of your 60s, you know, that 40s, like right between that. And I think it's going to be rich and rewarding. And it's really going to be wonderful when you're a part of our Rotary. So tell me this. Wunderlich, what nationality is that? Scandinavian? Is that German?
It's German.
German.
Yeah.
And do you connect with your German ancestry?
No, not really. That's my dad's side of the family, and my dad's side of the family is much smaller than my mother's side of the family, so
okay.
I don't know a whole lot about my dad's side.
What's your mother's side?
My mom's side's Irish.
Irish.
Yeah. And she's a very large family. We have her side of the family is very big, so our holidays are very fun and loud and chaos, but all very fun.
So how did they land here in Napa?
They moved to Napa in the early mid-70s from the Marin area. That's where my mom was mainly raised from, and my dad made his way there at some point. They actually bought a bar when they moved to Napa.
Which one?
They used to own Tomfoolery.
Oh,
no way.
Okay.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah. That volleyball nets down there. Oh,
they had it before all the volleyball courts started.
Oh, wow.
They actually bought it, and it was called Los Trancas.
Oh,
it was the
okay.
bar before that. Uh-huh. And then they switched the name to Tomfoolery.
Oh, wow.
And so my mom worked there for a very small amount of time, and my dad was bartending and running it. And then they sold it, I think, right before I was born or right after I was born.
Oh, okay.
And then,
well, that's quite a legacy.
It's fun.
So your mom and dad must be really fun, spunky people.
They are very amazing people. I love them so much. Yeah.
That is so cool.
I'd like to hear all the old stories from back then.
Yeah, and you kind of shared a glimpse of that when you said you call your dad because you have more W's to hang on the wall.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're really a good part of your world and life.
Oh, yes. I see my family, gosh, more than I see most other people.
Oh, really?
Now that I work on Second Street, my mom's office and my brother's office and my sister-in-law's office, they all work together, is almost across the street.
Where are they?
They are Terra Firma, Global Partners Real Estate.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so three of them are realtors in my family.
Rachel Clark is there?
Yes, okay, uh-huh.
Rachel, and I know some of the other partners in there.
Yeah, of course.
So your parents are realtors.
My mom is. My dad is not. My dad's
okay.
a contractor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so when I need things to be hung or changed or done, he's my handyman.
He is your
he's
go-to.
He's going to do it straight.
Yeah. So do you go to the shows to find merchandise? Or how
I do.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course. So there's shows everywhere. The ones that I tend to go to are in Vegas. So there's two shows a year in Vegas.
We're available.
I know. You can be my assistants.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a big trade show in Vegas that I go to every year, and it is huge. There's just big warehouses
huge.
Full of vendors and vendors and vendors. The first time I went, my mom and I went together. I'd never been to one of these shows before, and her and I were just overwhelmed.
Wow, so many choices.
So many things. So We, like, the first day we just kind of walked around and just looked at everything. The second day we started buying things.
Yeah.
But it's fun. So it's really fun to see all the other people shopping and all the new stuff coming out for the new seasons. It's really a fun thing
to do. So what's the color for summer? What are the new colors?
Well, the new Pantene color, Pantone, yeah, or whatever it's called, is like this vibrant blue is like their color of the
vibrant
year.
Vibrant blue is the color of the year.
I forget the actual term of the blue that it is, but it is a pretty vibrant, pretty blue.
And so that's going to translate into purses. And
I would assume so, yeah.
And everything. Yeah. Have you already purchased those?
I just started doing my spring buying, yeah. So everything should be here later in the month or early March.
How fun is that?
It is fun. And then I forget what I bought, and then the boxes come.
Right.
I open the box, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I ordered.
So I've always loved, you know, I keep track of all those trends and things, and I always love seeing what the color of the summer is and the color of winter and what it's going to be. You know, a lot of times the color of winter will be gray or taupe or brown. You know, it's all those kind of dark burgundies, and I love then summer comes and they're more fun and vibrant pinks or yellows, yeah, or now like you're saying dark blue.
Yeah, for sure. But you can use color any time of year,
oh,
in my opinion.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, right.
But I'm always most hairdressers will tell you that their wardrobe is full of black, because if you stain your clothes with color, you don't want to mess your clothes up.
Okay.
So a lot of hairdressers tend to have a very large black selection in their wardrobe. I am wearing black today.
Yes.
But color is so much fun. I've been playing with a lot more color lately in my own personal wardrobe.
Well, you know, people are doing that with their hair. Talk about that a little bit. A
lot of color in hair. That's very popular. It's been popular for a while with maybe the younger generation to put a pop of pink or a pop of blue. Now, a lot of the older generation, because a lot of people are transitioning to just with their natural silver or gray hair, they're letting that just go rather than dyeing it. So now a lot of older people are putting like pops of color in their gray, in their gray hair, which is super fun.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, you can put a little color in yours.
I love seeing all the fun things that people do with their hair.
Yeah.
You know what I've loved seeing in ladies that have the gray hair is, I've seen a couple times these ladies, it looks like they have strands of glitter. Like, I don't know what it is, but maybe like an iridescent. Have you seen that?
Yeah, there are little things they can sew in or tie in.
Yeah.
That are like little strands of glitter.
Yeah. It just is like a tiny little like bit that you're just like, oh, yeah, like tinsel. It's like an, I don't know, on the Christmas tree, I call them icicles, but some people call them tinsel. But I think that's just so,
yeah,
it just adds a little extra little.
They tie it into their own hair.
Is that what they're doing?
It just grows out, like the natural hair grows out. It grows out. I mean, it's permanent. And then it's bonded. They use some kind of a heat thing to bond it to actual. Yeah, it's the actual hair. You can still brush it and comb it.
Yeah, with extensions and stuff.
Yeah, so. So that's interesting.
There's lots you can do.
One of the things that I really liked about your shop and you from the video and just meeting you today is your sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the stuff in the shop is funny.
It's whimsical.
I was laughing. Yeah, whimsical.
Yeah.
And funny. So how do you, like, go about picking those sort of things when you're at a show?
Yeah, I mean, just whatever kind of catches my eye or I know that people would like to give as gifts or for themselves, like what we have, like you were saying, some of the whimsical things. Some of our greeting cards are, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, a little have some kind of funny humor to them. So always there's time for seriousness, obviously, but there's always time for a little humor and laughter too.
Yeah.
I like to make people laugh and have a good time, and I try to have a smile on my face all the time. You know, obviously that's not going to happen all the time, but I do try to always keep a smile, and I like other people to do the same. So when picking those things, it's just, yeah, just whatever catches my eye and I think other people would like. And I try to sell things that I like, obviously, I have to think of there's a bigger audience than just myself.
Yeah.
So what are some of the favorite things in your shop right now, your personal favorite things? Obviously everything, because you bought everything, but...
It's hard for me not to shop when I get all the stuff in. The sunglasses we have are a really big seller. The brand is Key Australia. It's an Australian sunglasses.
Is it K-E-A?
No, it's Q-U-A-Y. Everyone says Quay, but it's Key pronounced. And so they're very popular. They're kind of a mid-range sunglass price. And so we have clients that come in that know that we have them and buy multiple and multiple pairs. And I own a bunch of pairs myself. They're just really fun. So they're super popular. We have a line called Michael Stars, who does a lot of clothing, but we do all their accessories. So they're like wraps and shawls for the winter, the heavier wraps and shawls. And then for the summer and spring, they do like a lot of swim cover ups and kind of lighter pieces that are very popular when we get those in.
Nice.
That's great. Okay. Okay. And you mentioned you have jewelry. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we have quite a few different jewelry lines that we carry in there. It depends on the season and what we get in, but we have a few that are handmade or local. We have a company called Olive and Poppy that is local to Napa here. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of wine barrel jewelry. So they have little studs that are made with recycled wine barrel wood, and then they have little accents to them, or they have jewelry. They have long necklaces that say cheers on them. They're just super popular. So it's kind of nice to, you know, get something for Napa Valley, but it's not so in your face Napa Valley.
Yeah.
It doesn't like have Napa written all over it, but it still has like a little nod to the valley.
Do they have the little bracelets?
They have a bunch of bracelets.
Yeah. Made out of wood. They're wooden bracelets.
Oh yeah. The bangle bracelets. Yeah, so there's part wood and then part, I forget what the other item is that part of the fabric is, but I wear a bunch of them myself.
Yeah,
they're nice to stack
great.
With other things. Mm-hmm. There's different sizes of them. So that company is super popular. I love trying to support local or just handmade people in general.
Yeah,
totally.
Or things that have like a mission behind them. But some other jewelry I have this one company called Ornamental Things. They're based in Texas, but it's like this one woman shop, and she makes all the jewelry herself, and it's just beautiful jewelry.
Wow.
And it sells so well, and it's a great price point. So those have been really popular.
So what's your advice to other people that want to open a shop in Napa? Here you are. You're the wise one.
Oh, gosh,
now.
I wouldn't say
you've
that.
You've got the crown. You've got the small business of the year. You are the wise one. And as you sit here, Yoda, telling us how to do it, what's your advice?
Gosh, I would not say wise by any means, but I had a lot of help. In the beginning, obviously, my mom was a big supporter and help. She, you know, does kind of a small business herself as being a realtor in the Valley. So she was just my sounding board for the most of the part. I also, you know, I didn't finish college, so I don't have a degree, but I went back and took as many classes as I could at the Small Business Development Center here in town.
Okay.
For just some like kind of business
classes. See, now there is great wisdom.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
said, no, I mean deep. No, that's deep
yeah.
wisdom, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you know, I want to open a pet store. Well, maybe I better learn a little bit more about pets.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You said, I want to open a business. It's on my future radar. And so you took some classes to kind of hone your talents. That's not small.
Yeah. No, I understand. Totally. So that was a big help, was doing the Small Business Development Center, which I didn't really know was available until I kind of did some more research.
Well, tell us about that.
Yeah, where is that? Is it college? Or?
The classes I took were at the Chamber, I believe.
Chamber.
But I'm sure they have classes at other places too. I only took a few, so there wasn't like a whole lot, but it was kind of like Business 101, and they have a ton of different classes. So I think they have a website that has all their different, and I think some of the other classes are in Sonoma or in the you know, the Valley.
It is sponsored by the college.
Okay.
And the main base of it, the SBDC, is at the college, but they're looking at opening a center downtown.
Okay.
So that'll be
cool.
Much more visual and much more downtown and really attract seasoned, you know, business owners to become more seasoned and more brilliant.
That's great. That's
great.
Yeah. So it was a big help, because I mean, just them saying, when you start a business, you need to, you know, find a name and look it up and see if anyone else has a name before you.
Yeah.
And make sure no one has something similar. So in the middle of the night, I would think of a name, and then I would go to like GoDaddy and URL it, and then I'm like, okay. And then I bought so many domain names before I landed on the name of my business in the middle of the night. because I didn't know what I was going to name it, but they just were good with just telling you kind of like the beginning steps and what you needed to do that I would never have known.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. And I love Wonder. I mean, what a fun. Tell us about that. How did you land on that? So obviously, it's your name.
Yeah. So like I said, I was playing with all kinds of different names, and one of the Small Business Development Center people were saying that when you pick a name, don't name it after yourself, like your actual full name. And if you were going to like sell shoes, don't maybe just say it's like Lisa's Shoe Store, because you never know if you expand it in the future, you might add something other than shoes. And so they were kind of specific on that. Like I said, I probably figured out 10 names throughout the course of the time.
Sure.
And then I don't know how I even landed on Wonder. Wonder is obviously the first part of my last name. And it just kind of sounded good. It just flowed, and it wasn't Wonderlic. It was just Wonder. So I just thought it was kind of fun. Yeah. And it was kind of, you know, you wonder what you're going to do. You wonder where you're going to buy stuff. I don't know. I just liked it.
Yeah. And you wander into the store and wonder, are you going to get your hair done?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really cool. Yeah. So what about the money?
The money.
Oh, yeah. How do you get the money to start a business? I mean, oh my gosh.
You beg, borrow, and steal. I don't know.
No. I mean, yeah, really, no. It's a genuine
question. It is, yeah.
Question.
The money was definitely a factor.
Terrifying.
I said I wanted to open a business, but then I said, I don't have any money to open a business.
Yeah,
I don't
know, and you had a build-out for your space,
too. The build-out for sure. And the people that owned our building when I first started, which they sold the building since, but were very helpful and very able to accommodate a lot of the build out that I couldn't do myself. My parents loaned me some money and just kind of did on a shoestring budget, really. My dad's a general contractor, so he did a lot of the work that on the inside for us. He built our cabinets, he installed things the week before we opened. So just a lot of friends and family help for sure.
Well, and I think that's really important, because when you want to start a business, there are all these things to think about. Mm-hmm. What will I call it? What's my name? What will I do once I have a store? What's going to be in it for sale?
Yeah.
And then where do I get the money?
Yeah.
I mean, those are huge obstacles that just one by one, you have to leap over the hurdles in the race.
Yeah. It's a struggle every day still. I mean, the money is, you know, you still have to pay the bills even if it's a slow month. And downtown rent is not cheap in Napa. So.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is so true. It takes a fortune to have a business in town. But then you have to constantly keep reevaluating. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, purses are just not selling. So let's move on to, I mean, I don't mean that that's your story.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, but you're evaluating all the time. You know, I bought, 200 scarves during the last buying season. I still have 140. Maybe I won't buy scarves this time. You know, so
yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Tell me how you do that.
It's really just kind of, like you said, you know, I there was a bunch of purses I bought one season and I thought they were super cute, and they really just didn't sell the one style. And so I said, okay, well, I guess people weren't looking for that style. So I have to think about, you know, what people were buying, with their long straps or short straps, or, bigger or smaller, or because I'll just get customer feedback too. I have a lot of clients that are repeat customers, and they always were like, oh, we really want a structure purse. You know, we've been looking for structure rather than like kind of floppy. Or so I just really take the feedback from my coworkers and my clients that come in on a regular basis. So that's kind of where I judge on what I will buy for the future. And then after it sells or doesn't sell, then I kind of just reevaluate for the next season.
And also too, what works this year won't work next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, things change so rapidly in the industry.
So people want structure, then they want floppy, then they want, crossbody.
Yep.
That's now the rage, right?
It's just, crossbodies are great just because they're convenient and they're comfortable. And
you can toss your purse in there and your phone in there and keep going.
Yeah, for sure.
Crossbodies are all the rage. I know we travel, and everywhere I go, I see people with their crossbodies on. They're not clunking around with a big old purse on their shoulder.
I think everyone's trying to go smaller, even though it's hard to do. I have a big bag here with me today. And I know with moms and stuff, they really rarely can have a smaller purse. But it's so hard on our backs and our shoulders carrying those heavy purses on our So a lot of people are doing backpacks now because it like evens the weight out in the back. Mm-hmm.
Well, the backpack's good because it pulls your posture up.
Yep.
I am a big fan of young people wearing backpacks because I am seeing, okay, now I'm off on a tangent here. I am seeing so many slumpy over, slouchy over, poor posture. And I'm thinking, here's my tip. You want to think about turning 60. You're talking about, you know, what are the decades and what do you want to look forward to? I want to tell you that having really good shoes, because there's only one pair of feet for your whole life. Mm. You know, people try to walk around with, you know, modern things and fun things and stilettos and okay, put them on for an hour or two for your meeting, then put them in your purse and put your flats back on, you know, structured, strong shoes and then sit up straight.
Yeah.
Because gravity pulls us over.
I think I just stood up a little straighter.
You do.
I know, you do. Okay. You talk about it and you sit up straighter because gravity pulls us over. And mm-hmm. as women, we've got this extra weight on our chest that's pulling us forward, pulling us downward. And if you start slouching when you're 40, just imagine that magnified when you're 60 and 80.
Oh,
you look at older people that, I mean, some it's a medical condition, but some poor posture just keeps making posture worse and worse.
Yeah.
And so I see young people doing the backpacks and I'm like, yeah, look at them up and loud and proud and strutting their chest out there. That's just the way it's supposed to be. So, okay. Tangent over. All right. So Lisa, when's your next trip to Vegas?
I was supposed to actually go this past, well, last week was the show, but I wasn't able to make it work with my schedule. So I just did all my buying through my vendors.
Right, right. Online. Your current vendors.
Yeah.
So it's usually in the spring?
There's a spring and there's one in August and then there's one in February, usually the one that I go to.
The one you go to in February. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have these items and you have the hair salon. How does somebody get an appointment in the hair salon? Do you have walk-ins or do you have to?
So it varies on the day, but we have 4 stylists total, but we only have 2 stations at one time. So there's only 2 girls that work at any given day.
Okay.
And most of the girls are pretty stocked with their clients. So walking in is a little more challenging, but you never know. Sometimes it works. But usually just call the salon. And we also have a Schedulicity that you can go on and book appointments too.
Okay.
I have a question. Yeah. You know, one of the things that you brought up as at the Chamber video was you were talking about the doubts about becoming an entrepreneur. And, you know, I can still relate to that myself as we own two businesses and Doris was a business owner as well, a businesswoman. And so, you know, I wanted to say, like, you know, there's probably some people out there that are listening that are thinking, wow, I'd really like to start, you know, maybe even a home-based business selling this thing that I make, or, you know, I have this service that I could do, but they're really thinking like, I don't know if I could really be a business owner. You know, it seems like so much responsibility and so many things to do. And I guess my question for you is, how did you overcome? I'm trying to think exactly what you said. You said something like, you didn't think you could do it, or maybe it was like you sit here and you're wondering like how you did it or something like that. But did you have any doubts when you were thinking of opening the business, and how did you overcome those doubts or fears?
Oh, I have doubts every day. I think
that's what it was. Yeah, that's what you said.
Part of the video, I think, and what you're referencing is the day I put the letter of intent in, my mom and I helped me fill it out and we sent it off. And that's nothing more than just a conversation starter. But I went to bed that night and I dreamt that it was the worst decision and that it wasn't the right spot. It wasn't the right location. And so the next morning I said, Mom, can I take it back? Am I allowed to? She's like, yeah, you can. We can cancel it. It's fine. And then I slept on it again and then said, no, it's fine. So I kept going back and forth.
Yeah.
But no, I think the doubt stays there.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I still have doubt today, 4 years later, that it probably wasn't a good decision. But those kind of ebb and flow. Like some days are harder than others. Every day it's a struggle, and every day I am excited to go to work. I mean, I never not want to go to work. I really enjoy where I work and I really enjoy what I've done. But yeah, the just thinking of like, oh, if it's a slow month, you know, if you can make the bills.
Yeah. It's real.
You know, are people going to shop or did things show up or, you know, the girls that work for me in the salon part, are they still happy? They still want to work for me?
Yeah.
Cause they're all independent contractors, you know? And so I don't know how you get over it. I guess you just go to work every day and be positive and try to keep your attitude as positive as you can. Obviously there's days that doesn't happen, but, and then I just have a good family and friend sounding board. I try to surround myself with positive people that also, you know, do good things in their lives. So that kind of translates to what you have in yours.
Yeah. So what would you say to that person that's sitting at home listening to this and they think, oh, man, I've been thinking about this for like a couple of years now. Like, I think I might be able to do it. What encouragement would you give them or advice for the person who is like standing on that cliff and they're thinking about starting the business, but they're really not feeling like they're capable?
Well, I mean, I think anyone's capable. I think you just need to make sure that, like I said, just keep the right people in your life. And, you know, if it's something you know you want to do, and even if you're still kind of not sure about it, something you're passionate about, there's no reason to not try.
Yeah.
I mean, if you fail, you fail, know. And you can go on to something else.
Yes.
I said, if I fail tomorrow, I will at least glad that I did it at least once, you know?
Yes. So. Well, because if you never do it, then you'll never know what could have been, you know?
You'll probably have more regret if you don't do it than if you do.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I would encourage people with is, and I've seen some of my friends do this, is, you know, sometimes when you start a business, you think like automatically that next month you're going to have money to, you know, invest and all of that. Doris is over here rolling her eyes. You know, the thing about a business is it takes time. And, you know, what I've seen in my own businesses and my friends' businesses and experience is that, you know, generally you're looking at an investment of years, like 3 to 5 years before it's probably going to be rolling and, you know, you're going to be having the clients coming in the door without, you know, I mean, we have a business, we've been doing it for 10 years and we don't market at all. It's only word of mouth, but that's 10 years of investment, time, money, energy you've put into it, you know? And so I think people sometimes start a business and then they think, well, if it doesn't work out in 6 months, I'm going to quit if I'm not making enough money to, you know, whatever. And you can't quit until you know it's the right time. You have to give it time. Like, it takes time to build a business. Would you agree with that, ladies? Both of you have been in business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I probably still have many years to go before it becomes.
So I want to talk about, talking about failure. So can you imagine back to my toddler story, can you imagine a little baby is crawling around and it tries to stand up and it falls and it says, okay, been there, done that. I'm not trying that one again.
Yeah. Right.
Right. The baby doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. The baby keeps pushing and the baby keeps trying and the baby keeps getting up. And then finally it takes its first step. You know, failure is not a definer. Failure is a step in the path forward.
Yes.
And we never know if we don't try. So we have to step in the path and keep stepping forward. And I had this famous quote, and I wanted to look it up and make sure I got it right. But Thomas Edison, his teacher said he's too stupid to learn anything. And the quote that I wanted to look up was that Thomas Edison said, I have 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but he didn't quit. You know, he tried this and tweaked it like you ordered 200 scarves and the color of summer is dark blue. And then you have 160 of them left at Christmas. You're like, what am I going to do with that? So you get a bunch of girlfriends in, you get a bunch of what is that, Mod Podge, and you tie these scarves and bows and you hang them on your tree and you sell them as ornaments. I mean, you just, you know, it's not failure. It's just reworking the plan, constantly tweaking and redefining and reworking the plan. So I'm so proud of you for going out there and giving it your welly best and give it a try. And what was your industry before you did this shop? Was it hairdressing?
So I've been a hairdresser for about 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was your cosmetology, was you loved making women beautiful. I think that would be so rewarding.
Yeah. Actually, I was in real estate for a very small amount of time with my mom. She wanted me to be in the business with her. So I was 2 years had been her full-time assistant and was getting my license on and going to night school. And I went on a trip and came back and she said, you don't want to do this, do you? And I said, not really. She's like, you want to go to beauty school? And I said, yeah, since I was 18. You know, they'd always known that was something that I was interested in. But and then I went back to school at 24 and got my license.
Wow. So I've picked up on kind of a core of your life, and that's family.
Oh, for sure.
You are so close. You ask your mom about everything.
Yes. My mom.
Should I go on Doris's radio show? What should I talk about? Yeah.
No, I talk to her a lot of times.
How precious.
Yeah.
You know, can you talk about that? How do you stay in close relationship with your mom?
We worked together for a little bit when I was growing up. And then, I don't know, she's just an amazing person. My father, too. But, you know, my mom and I talk multiple times a day. She'll take a break from her office. And
wait a minute. Hold on. You're like 39 years old.
I am.
And you talk to your mom what?
Multiple times a day.
What?
Multiple times a day.
I mean, do you, world listening, do you understand how precious that is?
That wasn't
is?
Always the case. Let's say.
Okay. Well, talk about.
I mean, growing up, obviously, like,
you went through
a rebellious teenager, you know, was, you know, probably not as nice to her as I probably could have or should have been, as all mother-daughter, not all, but lots of mother-daughter relationships are.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, as you get older, you appreciate the wisdom that
the
your
wisdom.
Parents have said. There's been a couple times that I'm like, oh gosh, I sounded just like my mother then. Or like that's like the girls at work, we joke like, oh, that was a Terry thing to say. And so, but as you get older, you just realize that, you know, life is so much more important than the petty, you know, fights or drama or whatever. So I have lots of great close friends that I use as sounding boards as well. But it's my mom can just sit there and not say anything. And I just, you know, unleash on her. And then she'll just know the right thing to say. And I don't know how she does it. But she just knows how to make me feel better.
Wow. Well, she's wise. She's well known in Napa. And a good businesswoman.
Yeah.
And a good wife and mother. And you trust her wisdom, her vision.
Yeah.
So what's your advice to other 39-year-old women and their moms?
I don't know, just take, you know, keep those moments close to you. I know a lot of people lose family members too soon or, you know, not, you know, at a young age. And so I'm lucky to have both my parents still together and still alive. And sometimes, you know, I joke, oh gosh, my mom's coming into the shop again, you know. But I love that she does that. She takes little breaks from her office. My brother comes in and his wife and their son, my nephew, gets to come in and visit. So my shop has kind of been a little family.
Little hangout.
Yeah, hangout. So
yeah.
There's times where I can't leave work and they all have more flexible schedules than I do. So then they'll all come in on Halloween.
Aww.
And before they go trick-or-treating, they'll come in with him, my nephew, you know, in his costume. I love family. I love my crazy, you know, family every day. Just keep everyone close, you know. If you have a, you know, problem or a disagreement with someone in your family, just, you know, not let it go, but talk it out. You know, if you have, I always tell somebody, they're like, oh, I'm having an issue with so and so or my mom or my brother. It's like, well, do you guys talk about it? You should be able to just, you know, tell them what's going on or what your feelings are. So communication.
Oh, I love that. That is great advice. You know, being close to your family is so precious. And so many people, their family lives all across America, but you can still talk on the phone two or three times a day.
Yeah.
And I just love that you said that and that you're that close. I mean, literally, you're across the street from your mom.
Yeah.
And yet you talk on the phone two or three times a day. What thoughts, Julie, do you have to add to that?
Well, I was just smiling because I just got the real sweet text about your mom and dad from someone who's listening to the show.
Oh, okay.
Do you mind if I share it?
Yeah,
okay.
That's funny.
It was actually from my father-in-law, Larry Hamilton, and my mother-in-law is Amy Hamilton, although she passed away. He said, "I think her parents are Terry and Wayne Wunderlich. If so, they were dear friends of Amy's," so my mother-in-law. Wayne managed the Tomfoolery Saloon when Amy worked there. So my mother-in-law was a bartender at the Tomfoolery.
Oh,
and
man.
So I just thought that was so sweet.
Yeah,
to
sweet.
You know, so it's just a sweet moment to see how like we're all connected, you know,
it's a small community.
That's beautiful.
And the fact that you keep family close and that you work through differences, because you have differences. Humans have differences. But that you work through them, talk through them, and stay connected and invested with each other. That's marvelous.
Yeah.
So Valentine's is coming. We've got 2 minutes on this final note. Valentine's is coming. What is your suggestion to all the sweethearts out there?
Oh, gosh. Spend time with each other.
Okay.
Tell each other you love them.
What's in your shop that would be a good Valentine's gift?
We have lots of great Valentine's cards.
Great Valentine's cards. I have to come
really
get one.
Really good ones. And then we have a couple cute like Valentine's t-shirts and sweatshirts.
Oh.
What else do we have for our Valentine's stuff? Well, I mean, jewelry is always good for your loved one on Valentine's Day.
There you go.
Day,
bing, so bing, bing.
Little necklaces or jewelry. Earrings, just a little something. I don't think you have to go overboard by any means on holidays like that, but just a little something that shows your care, and a handwritten card would be, I think, perfect.
Oh, that is so special. Okay, closing thoughts or comments, Julie?
Oh, well, I'm just grateful for people like you and your family in our community that are great examples of how you can stay connected. And this talking about this makes me want to call my mom, and I'm like, I need to call my mom and be grateful, you know, every day that my parents are alive. And just like, I love you how you said, just don't take the moments for granted. That's beautiful.
Oh, I love that. Your closing thoughts or comments, Lisa?
I just wanted to thank you, ladies, for having me on your show this morning. It's been very fun. Very great just chatting with the ladies on the radio. But I just wanted to thank the community and everyone that has supported us along the way.
And so if you haven't already bought something for your significant other, wander into Lisa Wunderlich at Wonder and tell us how to contact you and where are you located.
We are located at 1428 2nd Street. And you can call us at 707-257-7527. I think that's what it is. And then we have our website is wondernapa.com.
And Wonder is spelled WUNDER.
That is correct.
Wondernapa.com. Okay, great. We're going to sign off. You have a wonderful day. We will not be here next Monday. Next Monday is a holiday. And so this show will air a second time. So this show will repeat on Monday. Also, we'll have a podcast of this show, which we will be able to share with you. So I'm going to sign off now. We're at 1440 AM KVON Radio. I am your host today, Doris Gentry. Talk so kids listen. And, you know, I think the theme of today's show, if I could sum it up in a word, is family. And then I would say support. And then beyond that, I would say, just do it. Get her done. Try your vision. Step out there. Trust yourself. And surround yourself with good people. Yeah. And I love it. I love Napa. So we'll tune in next week. We'll hear from Lisa again. And the week after, we'll have an all-new show. Woohoo! You have a great day, Napa.